You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another great edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As you guys know, we're doing the Grizzlies preview edition with all the different Memphis media members that cover the Grizzlies coming on this show, giving their opinions on what they think you can expect from the Grizzlies this year. And one of my favorite people joining us today, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, my good friend. We worked together for a long time, still working together. Joe will be back as his regular weekly spot this year once he gets done with the football. Talk of Grizzlies every single week, just like we did last year. But what's going on, Joe? How are you?
I know as a media member. I know I've been around for a long time.
Of course you count.
I guess, goodness, I just wish they still had the battle balls like back in the day. I would fly into Memphis and be a part of the battle ball of the tournament. Use my size to my advantage if I'm a media member now.
Hey, you got to do what you can do. I know it's busy with you. You obviously, people know that you're a football coach by trade, and I know it's that time of the year, so I appreciate you taking the time out to join me this late night as we record this. So let's not waste any more of your time. Let's get right into it. You wrote a piece. I want to start with this. You wrote a piece not that long ago, and I think this is relevant to go and start here about Andre Iguodala. There's a tweet that came out from Shams, as most people know by now. It was from Andre Iguodala's camp. I don't know how we don't already. If you don't know that, you're living under a rock. But everybody see the tweet. Where are you on this? I know that the article is very good. I've already read it in preparation for this show. If you haven't already read it, go to grizzlybearblues.com and read it. It's great. But do you think that Andre Iguodala actually ends up showing up to camp media days or even ever playing a game in Memphis? Or do you think it even matters?
It doesn't matter. I think that's the biggest thing. He may show up. I think that's possible. I don't think he needs the money. He's a pretty smart guy in terms of following his career with Golden State. You know, they would do articles about him in ESPN, the magazine, and other places, talking about how he became, you know, a tech investor. And, you know, he's got a lot of interest outside of basketball. Obviously, it does seem he wants to end his basketball career on his terms, clearly, but even broader than that, the idea that he needs the cash, I don't think is sound. Looking at what he's trying to do, he wants to be on a contender. He wants to go to a team that's going to compete for an NBA championship, and that's pretty clearly not going to be the Memphis Grizzlies anytime soon. So I don't necessarily think it matters if he shows up. I don't really see him leaving. In terms of being bought out, that's a pretty big buyout to agree to. It's one of the reasons the Chandler Parsons trade happened the way that it did. It's easier to buy out, you know, two smaller contracts if necessary. And Iguodala's contract is even bigger than those two deals. And I think the Solomon Hill and the Plumlee contracts are both in the $12 million neighborhood. Iguodala makes over $17 million. So it's not like those are going to be easy to buy out, much less, you know, Iguodala, if those were even on the table to be bought out. So to me, a buyout's not realistic, at least not in my eyes. There's going to be teams like the Rockets, the Mavericks, you know, there's some other, maybe some undercard teams that aren't really being considered at the moment, somebody off the table completely that could be in the mix for a trade. And if you hold on to him through training camp, even into the start of the regular season, who are you going to lose to keep him? You know, an Ivan Rabb? What have you seen from Ivan Rabb that makes you think he's worthy of losing a trade chip where you can get additional assets, be it young players on rookie contracts or additional draft picks, that would make it more worth it to just buy out Andre Iguodala and keep Ivan Rabb? You know, there's nobody on this roster that would realistically have to be parted with in order to keep Iggy just as a roster spot that you would go, oh, man, we really got to keep that guy. Now, it's possible they go into training camp and there's somebody that they signed, maybe a two-way player or even one of these Exhibit 10 contracts, that they're like, oh, man, we want to keep this guy around. But at the same time, it's extremely unlikely. And Iguodala sitting at home, not being used, but being a valuable trade chip for a contender, is more valuable to the Grizzlies at this point than just letting him walk. So it's not like he's going to be a cancer. I don't see that really happening. Jaren Jackson Jr. and John Morant have done an excellent job this offseason taking this team, making it theirs, putting their stamp on it. I think saying that they'd be negatively impacted by Iggy kind of is, I don't want to say disrespectful. That might be a little bit too strong. But it's definitely, you know, not taking full account into how invested they are in the city and the franchise, the opportunity they have in front of them to make their imprint on it now that Marc Gasol and Mike Conley have both moved on. I just don't see Iggy as a net negative at this stage. It's possible that happens, and I don't think that they should keep him just to spite anybody. The best interest of the organization has to be at the front of their mind with every move they make moving forward. And right now, Iguodala is not really doing anything that's going to negatively impact them compared to what would happen if they lost the trade value of him just by letting him walk away.
Do you want him to play in Memphis? I mean, do you want him in a game, or do you care if he just stays away, we'll trade him when they trade him?
I don't really want him in a game. To be honest with you, I think that he's eating minutes from a Josh Jackson if he ever actually plays for Memphis. He's eating Kyle Anderson minutes, or he's eating, you know, Grayson Allen. You know, go up and down the list of all the young players on this team, De'Anthony Melton, you know, guys that I'd much rather see play for the Memphis Grizzlies this coming year than Andre Iguodala. And I know we'll talk a little bit about this later, but this is the first year since I've been a Grizzlies fan that there's literally no expectation. You know, even last year with Mark and Mike still on the roster, we still subscribed to the idea that Mark and Mike healthy equaled the playoffs. Clearly that wasn't true, and it's even less true now that they're both gone. You can make a legitimate argument that the best player on this team right now is Jonas Valanciunas. And if that is indeed true, and even if you say Jared's better than Jonas, which I think is a healthy debate, regardless, that's not a playoff team. If Mike Conley being the best player on your team ain't a playoff team, Valanciunas or Jaren being the best player surely isn't a playoff team. This is a team that's probably looking at being in the lottery and being in the top five or six and having that pick not convey again. So why in the world would you want Andre Iguodala to play? He doesn't want to be there. It's not like he's going to openly, successfully be willing to be that mentor type of leader. You've got guys already like Jay Crowder who fit that role and have made it clear, at least through reports, that they don't mind being in Memphis, at least for the time being. You've got that veteran presence between him, Valanciunas. You don't need Andre Iguodala. So I don't necessarily care if I see him ever play. It'd be cool. I like Andre Iguodala. I think he's a good basketball player. But I don't necessarily think, oh, my God, he's on the roster. He has to play. I would almost rather him not play and stay healthy so that a team like the Rockets, once December 15th, 16th, those contracts that were signed in the offseason are eligible to be traded, I'd rather Iggy be fresh and able to be moved for a young player and a second-round pick and contract filler and Memphis be able to swing a trade to get further assets. I think that's more of the smart long-term play here than just putting him out there to try to sell tickets on a random game in October.
Yeah, I think you're right. I when I first saw that tweet from Choms, that was my first reaction too, was I'd rather him just not come here. If you don't mind, I mean, he could be on the team, on the roster, but I'd rather him just stay in L.A. and do whatever he's going to do. And then they'll eventually trade him on the 15th of December or after when they can actually, you know, open up more things. But like you mentioned before, there will be an extra move that has to be made if they do decide to keep Iguodala on the roster. There will be more cuts. They're at 18 right now. They got to get to 15. So people will have to go to have Iguodala on the roster. But I think you made a good point in the fact that there isn't a whole lot of guys that you just be like really, really wringing their hands if you had to let them go. Ivan Rabb and things like that. Maybe if they decided to let go of Bruno, I thought that would be a mistake, which I don't think they will. But, you know, there's a lot of options for them to do that. Before we move on to people that impress us or in expectations for the year, I want to look back a little bit to the offseason and ask you one little thing. Is there anything that in the offseason that stuck out to you as kind of one of the better moves or anything at all that really you point your finger to and go, that was the mark of a quality front office that you really thought, you know, kind of hit it out of the park?
There's lots of examples, right? And I know we've talked about this, you and I and others everywhere, you know, all across Grizzlies media. Folks have talked about this all offseason. You know, the idea that they're being very shrewd.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite though?
I mean, I guess just in terms of fandom, but my favorite was being in Memphis, and you were there, of course, at the watch party with us, and the fact that they were able to get Brandon Clark the way that they did.
Right, right.
I think just long term, I think Jaren Jackson's a five, and I think Brandon Clark's a four. And you put two really good wings next to those two guys defensively, and obviously Ja Morant at the point. And I think that's the core of your team moving forward. Maybe not in the next few years. That's why Valanciunas was signed. But, you know, the Grizzlies are playing the long game here. You know, this isn't an organization that plans on being a dominant franchise 2019-2020. You know, they're thinking 4 or 5 years down the road more likely than not. And that's a good core there of defensive versatility, of explosive athleticism, a variety of different types of skill sets that, in theory, meld well together. The Brandon Clark pick, you know, to get him where they got him, that's probably my favorite. I think the way that they flipped Kyle Korver and turned all that was pretty much nothing, into the trade with the Phoenix Suns was brilliant. I like the Conley trade a lot. You know, I still think there's really good value there. Obviously taking advantage of the Warriors, which is exactly what they did. Golden State panicked. They didn't want to lose Durant for nothing, and they wound up giving up a first-round pick that could be pretty valuable down the road. You know, the Grizzlies did a bunch of different things that I really do believe put them in a position to be a real competitor. Not maybe this year again, but 4 or 5 years down the road, I think Brandon Clark was the best one. I think that guy's going to be a stud. Maybe not a superstar, but he's going to be a really good NBA basketball player, and he's going to fit so well next to Jaren and Ja as time goes on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to ask that question to a lot of people. I think we're going to get a lot of Brandon Clark answers, but it'll be interesting to see if everybody's kind of thoughts and where they land. And you know, for me, I think the some of the just simple, more even precise things they did, the, you know, protections on that Jazz pick, you know, a lot of the little things that we just really haven't seen before from the Grizzlies front office, that kind of stuff's exciting. And the fact that they were proactive, it was really, really impressive to me as well. They, you know, this for so long, we've had a front office that has been a reactive front office, and they actually go out and made things happen. That's something that I really enjoyed coming
in
up
in a direction. Well, sorry. In a direction.
Yes.
I mean, for the love of God, the fact that they have a system, you know, if they lose 60 games this year, at least there's a plan. You know, that was my biggest frustration. I know it was yours as well with the previous regime. There was no direction. It was all reactive. You used the word proactive a moment ago. It was all reactive. There was nothing that looked down the road or had a system in place to try to define what it was going to be when Mark Gasol and Mike Conley were gone. And now in one summer, they found a way to completely flip that script. And while the Grizzlies are going to be bad this year, you know, I know we're going to talk about this more after the break. Don't get it twisted. They're going to suck. Like, they're going to be bad. But at the same time, at least they're going to be fun. And at least they're being bad for a reason instead of accidentally being bad. And that makes it just that much easier to watch. There's going to be lean times ahead, but at least it has purpose behind it.
You're absolutely right. I think most people last year would have been happy if they had just come out and said, hey, this is what we're going to try to do. It may not work, but this is at least the direction we're headed. I think that would be have solved a lot of their PR issues that they had last year. But that doesn't matter anymore. So we're off in a new direction. We actually have a plan. We'll talk about more after the break. But make sure you stay tuned after the break. We will talk more about expectations for Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, all the young guys, what we can expect from this Grizzlies team. If you can't find a workout that keeps you engaged, Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, to get started. Welcome back to the show, talking with site manager of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, my good friend, Joe Mullinex. We're talking all things Grizzlies preview today's episode. We were talked about a little bit about the offseason in the previous segment, talked about Andre Iguodala in the previous segment, but I want to get into the actual players and what we can expect from this year. What are your expectations, or what should people's expectations be of Ja and Jaren this year, the two youngest guys? I guess you could probably the core of this team going forward. What should they expect from the second year in Jaren and the first year in Ja Morant?
It's simple. They should expect Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Taylor Jenkins and everybody on this team who's inexperienced in a new role, they should expect all of them to be better in April than they are in October. And that is literally the extent of my expectation. They might win 10 games. They might win 35 games. I think anything there and in between is possible. I think it's more likely they win less than more. But I want to see growth. I want to see Jaren and Ja add skills to their tool belt throughout the season. I want to see who among these young players fits best in terms of Jaren and Ja's skill set. Parker Fleming and Brandon Abraham have done a great job the past few weeks over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com writing about fits next to Jaren and Ja. How these young players especially, you know, no offense to Jay Crowder, he probably will get traded by the trade deadline. I don't see him sticking around long term, and that's probably best for him. He's going to be valuable to a contender at some point. I just want to see them get better. And I think that's what matters most. You know, them winning the lottery, as close to winning as you can get without actually getting Zion Williamson, getting that second overall pick, there's just so much value there for them now, because the convey or not convey question is not nearly as important. Because if they are really bad this year and they have a pick in the top six, that would mean three straight years of top six picks plus Brandon Clark. You have a pretty solid core in place to really help you build your franchise moving forward. And theoretically, your 2021 pick won't be nearly as valuable as your 2020 pick if your team is getting better the way they're supposed to. So I think the goal doesn't even necessarily need to be winning and losing. Now, that doesn't mean you tank. I don't think you pull guys out late in games to make sure you lose. They're naturally going to be not so good at basketball. You let those guys play as best they can and learn through mistakes. It's going to be the first time that we see a coaching staff, hopefully, let kids, you know, like Ja Morant, commit six or seven turnovers and just kind of have to figure it out, how to deal with it. It's going to be an opportunity for Jaren Jackson Jr. If he has four fouls in the second quarter, well, damn it, stay out on the floor, young man. You know, you got yourself into this mess. How are you going to get out of it? It's an opportunity for them to kind of figure that process out and work through the errors that they wouldn't have been allowed to build through on a veteran-laden team with the expectation of competing for the postseason. So if they execute it properly, which we have all the evidence in the world that they will at this stage, they will have a chance to build this thing from the ground up the way that it's supposed to be built. And that will be the main thing for me to see, is how they allow these guys to grow and learn from mistakes as the season goes on.
What about another young guy or younger guy, but it's been around a while, Dylan Brooks. You know, he obviously didn't play last year. What do we need Dylan Brooks to do to really show us what do you need to see from Dylan Brooks to show that, you know, he belongs in this league? What does Dylan Brooks have to be for this Grizzlies team?
Well, first and foremost, he has to be healthy. I mean, the greatest ability is availability, and he hasn't been available the last year or so, and that's a major problem. He has to be able to hit the three consistently. I think anybody who plays next to Ja Morant as he develops his perimeter game at the NBA level has to be able to shoot, and he has to be able to be a above-average defender. If he can't do those things, then he's probably not going to warrant the money that it's going to cost to keep him around, because I do believe Dylan Brooks is a restricted free agent moving forward. So if he wants to stick in Memphis and be a part of this core long term, I think there's a natural fit there if he plays the way that he's capable of. He just hasn't consistently done it. And that is a big piece of what they need from him. They need consistency. They need someone who's going to be there for Jaren and Ja and not be on the sideline, not be on the bench. It has to be a long-term fit. He has to be able to stay healthy to do that. I think he has the skills in place to do those things. They're just not being displayed fully. So he has to be on the court. He has to be able to hit the three. he has to be able to defend in a variety of ways against a variety of different wings. And if he can do that, then I think you invest in him and you allow for him to stick around and be a starter long term.
Yeah, he is you know, he'll, as long as they extend the qualifying offer, like you mentioned, he will be a restricted free agent this year. He'll be in one of the guys of many guys on this Grizzlies roster that this front office will have to make decisions on at the end of the year for this Grizzlies team. Other guys, Josh Jackson, Grayson Allen. What do we expect from those guys that are probably fringe role players at best, getting spot minutes throughout the year? What do you want to see from those guys that would warrant them saying, okay, well, let's pick up the option on these two guys?
Well, Josh Jackson just needs to exist first, right? I mean, they've barely acknowledged him being even on the roster at this stage. It's possible that he's not. You know, maybe he's one of the guys that they let go and just eat that money this year if they don't see him being a fit long term. Maybe they like the Anthony Melton and the second round picks that they got more than Jackson himself. That's certainly possible. He's been a pretty big bust to this stage, but former fourth overall pick, he's got a lot of athleticism, a lot of natural ability. He's the perfect type of guy that you take a swing at and see if you can make something of him in training camp. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Grayson Allen is a similar example on a much smaller scale. Obviously, nobody really believed Grayson Allen would be a superstar at the NBA level, but they did think he'd be a more efficient and a better or a more complete, maybe is a better way to put it, scorer at this stage of his career, especially from the perimeter. So, like, a fringe rotation player, I think that's fair for Grayson Allen. I think if Josh Jackson plays to his potential, he could be a freaking starter. I mean, he has the athleticism, the length, the, in theory, the size to be a plus defender. You know, he just has a lot more to work with in terms of God-given ability than, say, a Grayson Allen does. But they're both in a similar place in that you could definitely see a scenario where this time next year or even in a couple of months, depending on how the Grizzlies perceive them, they may not even be on the roster. They have a pretty big wide gap of opportunity and expectation between them and how they realize that expectation in a lot of ways is up to them. You know, they have to come in and be bought into the system and where they're going to fit alongside Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant.
I think you hit that probably pretty damn correctly on those guys. And I think I love what you said the most about it. Josh, you just got to exist. And that's very true. He could be likely one of those guys that never makes it to playing time, and it won't even matter. This conversation will be a moot point, but it's very interesting the way you talked about that. Cause I don't think I've even thought about that. I mean, yeah, he could be one of those guys that just never makes it. And I probably assumed that they traded for him. I guess they didn't really trade for him, but I guess since he was in the trade, I assumed that he was just going to make it to, you know, the season, but he very well could not. Last question as we wrap up this segment, what player for you that you, do you think at the end of the season you'll be impressed with the most on this Grizzlies team?
I think I'm going to be impressed with Kyle Anderson. You know, I think that he's a guy who we forget about a little bit in terms of what he brings to the table. He's just so unique on both ends of the floor. And I think that you're going to see Kyle Anderson used in a way that he wasn't really used under J.B. Bickerstaff, and that's going to be as a backup point guard or as a point forward. I think he's going to be allowed to create more. I think he's going to be next to Tyus Jones. You see them, you know, it used to be a joke among Matt Hardlicka and I and others on GBB and on Grizzlies Twitter. You know, how many guys on this team can actually dribble a basketball, right? How many people can actually create off the dribble, create for others in terms of passing and understanding, you know, screens and passing lanes? And now I think you've got a lot of those types of guys. You know, you have at least four or five that can be those facilitators of offense. And imagine a Kyle Anderson power forward, you know, stretch four in the loosest of air quotes, alignment with De'Anthony Melton and Ja Morant. And, you know, there's all sorts of different ways where they can do pick and pops and different types of screen and rolls where you have guys that can pass, that can dribble, that can get to the basket, kick out. You know, there's a lot of potential offensively. And that doesn't mean, especially on a young team, that they're going to hit those shots that are going to be open. But it does mean that you at least, again, you have the concept and the vision for a system in which ball movement is going to be at a premium. And you've got the pieces in place, even if they're a bit inexperienced, to be able to do it. And I think Kyle Anderson is a great bridge to that new system that they're going to try to run. in terms of his ability to create not just for himself off the dribble, even with his lack of athleticism, but as well as for others coming off of picks and screens.
If we get a lot of Kyle Anderson point forward, I'll be a happy person throughout the year. I think you know that as well as anybody. Coming up next, we will get Joe Mullinex's starters. We'll get his win totals coming up right after the break. Welcome back to the show, talking with Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, here on this Grizzlies preview edition of the show. I want to wrap up the show today, but before we go, give me your starters, maybe the first couple guys off the bench you think we'll see on opening night.
Well, I think John Morant, Jonas Valanciunas, and Jaren Jackson Jr. are the locks, right? Those are the three guys that everybody who comes on this wonderful podcast will tell you are going to be starters. From there on the wing, you're probably going to have some difference of opinion. I do believe that Dylan Brooks will be given the first opportunity to be that guy as a shooter, as a starter on the wing. They need some sort of perimeter scoring, and I think that Dylan can provide that to an extent. And then I think your small forward is going to be Jay Crowder. You know, I've kind of changed on this. I think I originally said before I went on my little football season sabbatical that it was going to be Kyle Anderson. But to me, Jay Crowder makes sense for the same reason that Dylan Brooks makes sense. He's a wing that can do a lot of different things. He can defend multiple positions. He's versatile. He can shoot the three. I'm not saying he's elite. Don't tweet at me and say his career percentage isn't very good. I get that. But compared to Kyle Anderson, he's Kyle Korver, okay?
Yeah.
So Jay Crowder, he gives you more perimeter shooting. He allows for John Morant to have some more room to work with. That puts Kyle Anderson in a position to be that point forward alongside Tyus Jones off the bench, which I think is a really good look for them. The more facilitators and creators off the dribble and in offensive sets, the better. And it puts Kyle in a better position for his unique skill set to be utilized as a reserve, I think. So my starting lineup's probably going to be John Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jay Crowder, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jonas Valanciunas. Lots of J's in that starting lineup, but I think that's probably going to be it. And I can almost guarantee you that that's not the way the season will end. Like I said, I don't think Jay Crowder, for example, will be in Memphis for long. He'll get lots of minutes and lots of opportunity to show a contender that as part of a rotation, he could be a championship helping to win a championship piece, and he'll get the opportunity to show that he can still play with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you're right. It could be very different. Jay Crowder is, like you said, most likely a candidate for be traded. But, you know, you could have Grayson Allen going to be a knucklehead. They got to waive him. They could have Josh Jackson do stuff.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of variance, I think, beyond the, you know, the Jaren, Jonas, Ja. You know, there's a lot of variance there that with this Grizzlies team. And as we talked about earlier in the show, it's a very proactive front office. They're going to go and try to make this team better, whether that's now or whether that's next offseason. So it could be very different for this Grizzlies team. Last thing before we let you go, win total for the Grizzlies. I think I had them at 20 wins, which might be a little low. I think Vegas is 27.5 right now. What says you on the win total?
I've got them at 28 wins, and I think that that's purely the optimist in me putting them above the win total, giving them the over. I could totally see them winning. I do think 20 is a little low. I think 23 to 25 is realistic. And then, you know, you're kind of picking at straws a little bit. If 23 is low enough, then what's, you know, they're an injury away from only winning 20 games. So
sure.
I think anywhere between 20 and 30 is realistic. I think anything over 30 would be a massive success for this front office. It would mean that they convey that pick this year most likely, or they win the lottery, one of the two. And either of those, again, would be a fine outcome. It means that they have a coach in place and a young core in place that's going to grow and develop together. And that's reason to be excited. If they're bad, like you and I think they're going to be, then they'll either get a pick this year in the top six and hopefully have a worse pick to convey in 2021. And they'll add more young talent to the roster. Like I said, the best thing about the season is there's no expectation. They just need to go out and play hard every night and compete and get better. And if they're able to do that, regardless of the record, it's going to pay off for them in the long run. So I have them at 28. I definitely could see them winning anywhere between 20 and 30. And I think that variance has to do with the fact, like you just alluded to, especially on the wing, we have no idea what these rotations are going to look like, how they're going to utilize Tyus Jones. Are they going to play him alongside John Morant?
what are you going to do with Brandon Clarke? Is he going to be your backup center? That's going to be a pretty small lineup if you have Kyle Anderson at the four and Brandon Clarke at the five. But does that matter, given Clarke's athleticism? There's just so many questions that you're going to need a full season to play out just to see how it's going to work. And, of course, the youth of the Grizzlies. You know, John Morant, for every highlight play he makes, he's probably going to make one or two boneheaded plays as he goes from Murray State to the NBA. So patience is going to be a virtue. I think Grizzlies fans are just going to have to get used to that idea. But I think they're going to have enough flashes from Jaren and Ja, especially, to be able to hold them over as this rebuild fully gets underway.
I love the optimism, Joe. And you're right, they're going to be bad. Hopefully they are fun while they do it. Again, if you guys are not already reading Joe's stuff, make sure you go and do so. There will be more as football season winds down for himself as well as his team. Hopefully you guys have a great rest of the season. But as it winds down, your bloggy ramps up. GrizzlyBearBlues.com, if you're not already reading that over there. It should be one of your daily stops as well as some of the other big ones as well, but it should be on your daily stop to go read whatever they have. Right now, it's not much going on, but they still have content cranking out every single week. Also, if you have not already subscribed to this show, make sure you go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies, whatever platform you choose, Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple iTunes. If you're in Apple iTunes, please go make sure you leave a review and rate the show as well. It really helps us in those rankings. Joe, I appreciate you joining me, man. We'll do it a lot this season.
Absolutely, Mark. I'm looking forward to getting ramped back up here soon.
Thanks, man.
All right.